You're listening to Black and Abdallah on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
If you miss something, get the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app.
It's Black and Abdallah, keeping it rolling after Bears Weekly here on ESPN 1000. If you want to join the conversation, you can call us at 312-332-3776. Also, a reminder, if you miss Black and Abdallah throughout the summer months, as we enter the baseball season, we carry White Sox baseball here on ESPN 1000. Our show will be on our YouTube page. Go to our YouTube channel, Black and Abdallah. Subscribe right there. If you subscribe, you'll be alerted anytime we post a new video throughout the summer when the White Sox are on the airwaves here on ESPN 1000. Throughout the nights during the summer, we'll have new content, new shows right there on the YouTube channel, Black and Abdallah. Make sure you subscribe. Tonight, we're on 1000. Tomorrow, we will be on the YouTube channel. So make sure, make sure you're there with us. Subscribe to the channel, Black and Abdallah on YouTube.
Yeah, tell your friends, too. Be like, hey, check out this awesome channel I subscribe to. And your friends will probably look at you weird, and then they'll watch it, and they'll be like, oh, my God, this is awesome. Why didn't you tell me about this earlier? And then they'll be your friends again.
Well, we had a big couple of weeks on the YouTube channel previewing the NFL draft. We had a chance to talk with Mike Golic Jr., Connor Rogers, Brett Coleman, David Kaplan stopped by. We even had a chance to talk with Adam Amin about the Bears, but then also, about halfway through that video, we switched to the Bulls, the end of the Bulls season, and then also Coby White, who last night was fantastic for the Chicago Bulls, and that's why I wanted to start with, Abdallah, is when we look back to last night, the playing game, the first playing game for the Chicago Bulls, they win 131-116 over the Atlanta Hawks. Coby White last night, 42 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists. This kid over the last year has really come into his own and has really become a leader for this group, showing up last night. Now it sets the stage for a win and get in game tomorrow night against the Miami Heat. But Coby White last night was fantastic.
Absolutely. You know, he balled out and he's been balling out all season and the progression has been great, especially because the obvious, Zach LaVine is out. Zach LaVine has missed most of the year, and because of that, Coby White sees the ball more, he gets more opportunities, and the two words I hate most when it comes to this Bulls team, and we talked about it at the beginning of the season, we talk about it every trade deadline, we talk about it in the offseason, nice piece. You know what Coby White is now? He's a great piece. He is an asset to this team, and I'm hoping that, you know, because now Jimmy Butler, we got the news, he's going to be out a few weeks. He's obviously going to be out tomorrow night for the final play-in game. If the Bulls win, they get into the playoffs. That if Zach LaVine comes back next year, that this doesn't stop the development of Coby White. That he goes back to just being a 12-point, 13-point-a-night guy. That he just goes back to being a, quote, nice piece. Now, you said it, he's a leader on this team. He is one of the main scorers on this team. And I'm just worried that the front office is going to see what the Bulls have done, because let's assume they win on Friday. Jimmy Butler's out. Their best player's out. The Bulls have a very good chance to win that game. That if they make the playoffs, they will hang their hat on, hey, we made the playoffs without Zach LaVine. Lonzo Ball's making progression, all this kind of stuff. And they just run it all back and hope that Coby White continues to improve. But we all know, we watched the games when Zach LaVine was back, that he didn't like to give the ball to Coby White. And that was hurting his development. And I'm worried now that after this season, we're not going to see this kind of player in Coby White anymore, because the team is unwilling to move on from certain other pieces.
Yeah, I kind of can understand where you're going at with that. You know, the one thing that's very obvious to what has taken place here over the end of this season, and then, you know, the playing game last night, is that Zach LaVine, because he was hurt, and it has allowed Coby White to develop into the player that he's become, it's not an exact kind of taking over for the stats that Zach brought to the table, but it covers most of what Zach brought to the table. And I think what is very obvious is Zach LaVine is completely unnecessary on this team. Now, the Bulls did try to move him at the trade deadline. No one wanted him. But it's now should be obvious to any Bulls fan out there that Zach LaVine should not be on this team going forward, and Coby White should be your starting two guard. And however that kind of plays out and how the front office sees this group going into the offseason, it is a concern because they are not good enough the way they're constructed right now. They need improvements. DeMar DeRozan's a free agent this summer. How do you handle the situation with Vooch? There's moving pieces and high-priced vets who don't get it done at a high enough level. And let's not kid ourselves. There were some good vibes in the United Center last night. Bulls fans were happy for one night. But just because you had a one-night stand does not mean you're happy for the months after when you're sitting around by yourself alone in your parents' basement playing video games. Because that's essentially what this is. It was fun for the one night, but let's not forget the forest through. Let's not see the forest through the trees, right? Is that the saying? I think yes. Like the key here is that this team is not good enough, and we expect as a fan base and as a city more from this franchise. And all the evidence you need for that is last night. The United Center was rocking before first tip. 8:30 game local time. Fans showed up. In fact, they had rally towels. You know what? You want to know a critique on Bulls fandom in this city? Is it's embarrassing that in this city with that team, you're pulling a rally towel out for a game that's not even a playoff game. Mm-mm. It was a play-in game. The playoffs don't start unless you win tomorrow night against Miami. You are not a playoff team right now. Yet people were waving rally towels. That's embarrassing for this franchise. And I'm not faulting those who are in attendance. Like, you go to the game, you enjoy, you want to make a difference. I get that. It's embarrassing for the ownership group, for Michael Reinsdorf, for the front office, AK and Eversley. This is a proud NBA city. And you know, we've discussed this for many years, Adam. It's this idea that everyone in the Chicago metropolitan area is a Bears fan, for the most part. Yeah. I know there's some weird Packer alliances that kind of creep into the area, but it's always said in conversations that the Bears bring everyone together.
Yeah.
We've discussed this. The Bears do bring everyone together. But there is no time that feels more alive in this city than when the weather starts to pop and the Bulls are on a playoff run. I'm sorry. I know that the Bulls don't unify everyone like the Bears do, but there is no better time to be a Chicago sports fan than when the Chicago Bulls are making deep playoff runs.
Oh, yeah.
And are competing, and the games matter 3-4 times a week. Mm-hmm. And we're all following along, and we're amping up for these playoff games. And you saw it last night. Last night's the perfect definition of all of what we're talking about, because for a play-in game, it felt like an Eastern Conference Finals game. Richard Jefferson on the broadcast mentioned how many times? 6 different times? Like, listen to this crowd. Yeah. Look at how amped people are. We miss playoff basketball in Chicago. It's needed. This is something that we need in the league. This city is at its best when the Bulls are making deep runs. It is unlike any other sports team in the city. It's not like when the Cubs are making a run in the playoffs, or the White Sox, or the Blackhawks, or even the Bears, because the Bears are a once-a-week thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is a different vibe, and you felt it last night, and it's embarrassing that the franchise has gotten to the point that this is the only opportunity Bulls fans have to show out.
See, and that's the problem, right? Like, I enjoy planning my week around it. Like, where are we going Friday night? What are we going to do? Where are we going to be for the game? All that kind of stuff. And we haven't had that since the Derrick Rose era, where, you know, you're trying to find places and trying to secure your spot at a bar to watch this game because you want to be out. And again, I go back to my fear as a Bulls fan is that this franchise doesn't want more. They can say that they want more, but they believe that just by adding the pieces that are missing in Zach LaVine and maybe Lonzo Ball, that this is going to be a team that can take them on a deep run, right? That, okay, we made the playoffs, probably going to get swept by the Celtics if they do, but if our best player was there and if we had a real point guard and Lonzo Ball was there, think of what we could do. What, you'd win one game against the Celtics as opposed to, you know, this isn't a team that if you add Zach LaVine, they're instantly third in the East. They're instantly second in the East, and they're competing for an Eastern Conference Finals. They're not. They're maybe a sixth seed. Like, they're not going to be that much better. So guys that have been in the league for a while and AK should be looking at that and saying, I need to add more. That should be yesterday, the rally towels and the fandom and the building rocking should be a wake-up call and saying, hey, we can get support. You just have to be good and compete in the East. But this is a team that doesn't care about competing in the East. They care about just getting there and being a part of the party for a couple days and then saying, well, we tried. Well, and that's a problem.
And that's why I understand the other side of the conversation, which is a criticism towards Bulls fans. Right? There is the conversation out there that everyone is just following along with the herd and celebrating something that's not worthy of celebrating, because that's what I mean, that let's not forget about the larger picture. This is a franchise that shouldn't be in this position consistently. Mm-mm. They're stuck exactly where they've been for many years, and that's why you see Joe Cowley on social media like taking shots at the fan base for showing up in the rally towels, and that's why I'm saying it's embarrassing. Like, we're pulling out rally towels for a playing game. Like, what the hell? This used to be a championship level franchise, and this is what we're like getting our jollies going
for?
We
used to be a proper franchise, Chris.
I was going to say something else, but I don't think it's appropriate on radio to be able to say that. But, you know, people are really getting into it. They're geeked over it. And it's just, that's where this team, and you're right, the construction of the team. And I don't know if there's an answer out there. I mean, we look ahead. If you can beat Miami tomorrow, you have a 64-18 team waiting for you in the first round, the Boston Celtics. The Boston Celtics, by the way, who have blown out more teams this season than most former champions in league history. Crazy. There's like three or four teams that have collected the amount of 20-plus wins in a regular season than this Boston Celtics team. Like, you can dive into the stats and suggest this is an all-time regular season team that now has to prove it in the playoffs to get to the championship. So, like, this isn't just a 1-8 matchup that, hey, maybe we have a puncher's chance. Theoretically, going in, it's going to be a bloodbath, a 4-0 sweep, maybe a gentleman's
doubtful
sweep where you get one at home or something.
No.
But, yeah, it's... this Bulls team is not making the second round. That's not going to happen.
No.
And they're not going to be there in the Eastern Conference Finals and match up against Jalen Brunson, the hometown kid in the Knicks, and make it feel like good times of the 90s where you had the Knicks and the Bulls in the Eastern Conference Finals. That's not going to happen. And so I think, like, as we zoom out big picture, that's where the concerns have to be. And it's also like, let's not celebrate too much over a play-in win, because you're not even a playoff team yet. Last night's stats didn't count for anything.
No.
They don't go towards the regular season. They don't go towards playoff stats.
Kobe White had a career night, and it's not going to go into the record books.
They are a nothing.
Yeah.
Last night was a nothing. Last night was, you were good enough during the regular season to be included, but you're not good enough to be a playoff team, so you have to fight your way in.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is. It's a television event. I enjoyed watching. It was nice to see the UC rocking, but I know what this team is. Here's the other piece of the conversation as we kind of shift our focus towards tomorrow night against Miami. They're going to be without Jimmy Butler. This team has a legitimate chance. And I know Caruso has some question marks with his foot injury going into tomorrow night as well. This Bulls team has a chance to go into Miami tomorrow night, win a basketball game, and become a playoff team. That is really possible.
Yeah, it is. And again, like, cool, you get your playoff bonuses for the first round. Everybody in the Bulls front office and everybody in the Bulls organization gets a nice little bonus, and that's cool, but that's not good enough. We were having these exact same conversations when it was Gar Forman and John Paxson, the exact same conversations. That, and now, how many years removed, we're doing the same thing again. And this all goes back to the front office and ownership. They've let Bulls fans down. So yes, enjoy last night. It was great. It was a fun game to watch. Enjoy tomorrow night. It could be a fun game to watch. The Bulls are an underdog, by the way. Not by much, but still an underdog. But just remember, while you're at home, because it's on the road, while you're waving your rally towels at home or whatever you're doing, just remember what's coming.
See red, go Bulls!
Like, if they win, nothing is going to change. Because there are going to be some potential free agents available or disgruntled players available that the Bulls could be in the mix for, but they'll just say continuity, they'll just say run it back, they'll just say healthy Zach LaVine, and holding on to the hope that Lonzo Ball comes back, and they're going to continue to just be this middling team.
Man, and looking at the other side of the court, I don't know how Atlanta continues with Trae Young.
No.
Like, how do you build that team with Trae Young at this point? I know he gave you 25 points per game this season, 10 assists per night, but he plays zero defense. He would fit perfect on a team, and I don't have the trade scenario mapped out, but like, he needs to be on a team with bigs who play great defense, where he can kind of float around on his own and then be a three-point assassin while everyone else does the dirty work. So you're talking like Denver, you're talking New Orleans, you're talking the Lakers. Like, those three teams are big. They play great defense. And like, he would just be able to be an asset. Now, obviously, you figure it out, and it's like, how do you make that work with a team like Denver or the Lakers without giving up a big star piece? But I think that's what Atlanta has on the horizon for them. And I would also be concerned if you make a trade for Trae Young that you're essentially going to do what Milwaukee did to themselves, where Milwaukee moves off of Drew Holiday to bring in Damian Lillard, and the team got worse because Drew Holiday is a fantastic defensive player, seeing it now with the Celtics, and the offense that you get with Lillard doesn't make up for the lack of defense that you had there to begin with. So really fascinating playing games, and we have Friday night, Miami and Chicago. Win and you're in. Looking forward to it. Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000.
Black and Abdallah on ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports. Black and Abdallah are back on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Thank you to Charlie Bevins for producing tonight's show of Black and Abdallah. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel, Black and Abdallah, on weeknights when the White Sox are on our airwaves on ESPN 1000. We'll have new shows right there on our YouTube channel, Black and Abdallah. And we were asked a couple of times, it's not a live stream. These are shows that will be released on YouTube.
Yes.
Occasionally. On those nights, people are sending us messages saying, I can't find the show, the stream. It's a show that is produced up, we record it, and then it's released on YouTube. So that's what we're up to when the White Sox are on our airwaves on ESPN 1000 throughout the summer. So make sure you subscribe, Black and Abdallah on YouTube. All right, Abdallah, we are a week away from the NFL draft. I can feel it. Caleb Williams, I'm going to go out on a limb here. I think the Bears are going to take Caleb Williams with the number one pick.
I don't know, man. I don't know. There's a lot of I don't know. There's a lot of smoke.
I think it's interesting that 4 months now, like, there was a little chatter before the combine that there would be a conversation here, and then we immediately sniffed it out after the combine that, like, no one is leaking anything other than Caleb Williams is going to the Bears. And even this week, like, Peter Schrager wrote about this, that the Bears had three fantastic meetings with Caleb Williams, and the raving behind the scenes that they've done over his personality and stuff. Like, it's solidified. That's the pick. The intrigue starts at number two, what the Commanders will do at quarterback, what the Patriots are going to do at three, and then where do the dominoes fall and where do the wide receivers fall within the picks after three, and whether or not the guy that you want as a Bears fan at nine will be there.
Well, this also goes into other trades as well, because it was reported today that Jaden Daniels is meeting with the Vikings again, and that the Vikings are doing everything they can to move up higher to get a quarterback. Now, that not necessarily means J.J. McCarthy. Could they move up even higher to try to get Jaden Daniels, to try to get Drake May, to try to, and that all affects everything in the division with the Bears, because J.J. McCarthy's kind of seen as a guy that could be very hit or miss, whereas Jaden Daniels, Drake May could come in day one with Justin Jefferson and be very productive. You know, I'm not going to say that they're going to be as good as the Bears. The Bears will have a better defense, all that kind of stuff. But it just kind of seems like this is going to be a very intriguing. The draft, yes, quarterbacks are going to be taken 1, 2, 3. But who is going to be selecting those quarterbacks remains to be seen. Because if Minnesota finds a way to get enough ammo to move up, that changes a ton of things for the Bears.
I'm wondering if next week, since we're a week away, if we get smoke that Drake May will be the second quarterback off the board.
Ooh.
I'm surprised that we haven't heard that. I'm a little surprised that, like, it's gone a few, like, all the smoke early was that Jaden Daniels is the guy.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if that's really going to be the truth. That's what I'm interested in.
Well, it's the things that you're not hearing, right? We haven't heard anything really about Drake May. And
exactly.
You hear a lot of stuff about Jaden Daniels, and we know it's lying season. So, like, people only hear, you only hear what they want you to hear. So they could be, this could all be smoke from the Vikings, and they just could just take J.J. McCarthy or just wait and maybe take Bo Nix or Michael Penix. There's rumors that Michael Penix is moving up the draft board.
Tomorrow, the White Sox will play here on ESPN 1000. So if you want to catch Black and Abdallah, subscribe to our YouTube channel. We'll see you over there tomorrow. It's Black and Abdallah.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah, ESPN Chicago.